You sound like you really mean it this morning. You know Jesus is coming soon. We just don't know when He's coming. But let us just be ever vigil and be watchful, for that day is not very long. This morning, I want to say hello to everyone and thank you all for coming out, as we all do all on Sunday morning. We'd like to say thank you. And we all are here for one matter only, and that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ, His death, His burial, and His resurrection is the reason that we are here this day. And we ought to be ever grateful that He has allowed us another opportunity to come together. Let us go to God in prayer. O righteous Father, which art in heaven, we know that Your word is everything to us. We understand that You are the creator and maker of all things, and we're praying this morning, Father, to thank You. Thank You because You raised us up this morning when You did not have to. Thank You because Your Son Jesus went to the cross and He did not have to, but He did it because You loved us, O Lord. We thank You this morning for this congregation and these members here, O Heavenly Father. We also pray for those who are not here but are on their way, that they may get here soon, O Lord, and be safely guided here. We pray for the leaders of this congregation and their families, that You may keep them strong, O Lord. And we pray for each and every member, that they may stay strong as well, and that they may share the word with their family members. We thank You this morning, Father, that there are some among us who are sick. And we just pray, O Heavenly Father, that if it be Thy will, that You would bring them around. But if not, Father, we know that Your will shall always be done. We thank You this morning, Father, for those that are members of Your body, in particular this local congregation, but all members of the body of Christ everywhere that are trying to do the right things, O Lord. We thank You this morning that we have set aside this time. You have allowed us to set aside this time that we may meet together. Father, we pray now as we move from the last portion of our services to the next portion, that You would be with us and watch over and keep us. And thank You so very much for Your Son, Jesus. And it is in His name that we pray and ask all these blessings. Let us all say, Amen. This morning, the word was read for your hearing from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and the verse is number 17. Let us revisit that verse. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. From that, we want to talk just for a brief while this morning. And when I say brief, you know I don't always mean that. But we want to talk for a little while this morning about all things are become new. Have you ever heard anybody make the statement, something to the effect that when they have tried something different and they say, I feel like a new person since I've lost a couple of pounds. Or they may say, I feel like a new person because I have a new job, and this new job is really nice, and it makes me feel good. Then again, Christians know something, a little bit of something about that. They say it a little different. They know, or they should know, where to give proper credit. You may hear them saying, since I put on Jesus, my life seems to be different now. They understand what today's text is talking about when it's talking about putting on the Lord. It helps them to understand that we have become a new creature. So while we take a few moments to study this text, let us just remember to be ever thankful and happy and praise the Lord's name this morning. So as we go into these thoughts, just a few thoughts here this morning, once again from Ephesians 5 and the verses number 17. So we are to understand what is really new. We must become as newborn babes. That is, our whole beings must undergo a change. We must submit to accepting a new foundation in our lives. We must accept the fact that Christ is now the head of our lives and not we any longer. We must understand that when I become a newborn babe, I want Christ to lead my life. Do you remember as a newborn child, Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and the verses number 2, where he says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. When one is sincere in the study of God's Word, they must learn to put aside their old ways of thinking, the old ways of doing things, and start feeding our souls the sincere milk of the Word of God. That means it is not to be mixed with man's thoughts and man's opinions. That means it is the pure thought, the pure milk of the Word of God. And we all know that man has a way of corrupting everything that he puts himself into. That's why we should be glad that the Word of God is void of man's opinion. It is so good to know that God's Word is real, God's Word is truth, and God's Word will always be God's Word. And the Bible clarified that for us in 2 Timothy chapter 3 in the verses number 16. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Now somebody may ask the question, what does that mean? It very simply means that God's Word is divine revelation and it's true. And I want you to just watch something, if you will. In 2 Peter chapter 1 in the verses number 21, the prophecy came out not in old times by the will of man, but the holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now what did you just say, preacher? Well, I simply said that God's Word is real. God's Word is true. It was written by man, but it was inspired by God. So what are you saying then? Once again, preacher, I'm simply saying that if you trust in God's Word, you'll never go wrong. That's all I'm saying. This means that as a newborn babe in Christ, you need to change your old thoughts and your old attitude from the world to God. Do you remember that in Acts chapter 11 and around verse number 26 where the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch? The disciples got the name first and then we got it. Look at the text again in chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians in verse number 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So being this newborn babe, that means my present life, my old life must go by the wayside now. And we come into this new way of thinking, this new way of doing. As newborn babes, we should learn to desire, as I said, the sincere milk of the Word of God. And when you get sincere milk of the Word of God, you will know where your life is going and how it's going. But you won't know how it's going to end up or when it's going to end up. But you hope that it ends up with you on the day of the day of judgment being called to heaven or being dispatched to heaven. That's what it's all about, church. The gospel of Jesus Christ, where He lived, He died, and He lives on continuously right now, church. Number two, we should gain a whole new attitude against sin. A newborn is born into a sinful world, but not yet filled with sin. Notice in verse number 17 of that text again, if any man be in Christ, the Bible says, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Here we are shown that there is a better road of our lives that our lives may follow. It means not only will I go by a new name, which is Christian, but also my heart should be changed once and for all. And my attitude should become new. And I may as well let you know that even though you have become a new creature, Satan is not new and he will surely continue to try to work on us. Somebody thought that because I'm a Christian now, Satan will leave me alone. That's the farthest thing. You should push that thought farther, the farthest point of your mind, because he will be hard at work on you now that you are a Christian. I say it all the time, and I'll say it again, that when the devil knows that you are a Christian, he will try his darndest to get you to leave your Christian roots and come back to the world. In Galatians 5, in the verses number 17, we are told that the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and they are contrary to each other. So we cannot do the things we would. Well, what did you say again now, preacher? Well, I simply said that there's a battle going on inside of all of us, especially those of us who are Christians, a battle that is against the spirit of righteousness. But once you have become a Christian, the spirit battles back against the flesh. Before you were a Christian, many did not battle so much. We accepted what we did as all right, but when we put on Christ, I want you to notice verse 18 of Galatians 5. Verse 18 of Galatians 5 says, but if you be led of the Spirit, if you be led of the Spirit, we are not under the law. The law, and that means that we are now under grace and truth, and we know Jesus Christ. That's what that means to us. After Jesus makes his entrance into our lives, our attitudes on sin should change. And you know, sin is a three-letter word, but it carries a lot of power. Sin is a three-letter word, but when you look at sin, that's what caused the world to be in the condition that it's in this day. Sin is something that is not new, but sin is something that's ever present. And for this reason, a Christian should never be comfortable in sin. Oh, they may continue in sin, but they'll never feel at home anymore. Some can't eat right. Some can't sleep well anymore. And all will feel guilty once they have become a Christian. Look at Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 13. It is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. This means if we submit to His will, He will see us through whatever we are going through. You know, it's good to know that somebody can see us through what we're going through. Because sometimes you run up against a wall. And when you run up against that brick wall, there's not a whole lot you can do. But go to God in prayer and ask God to help you get through the situation that we are in. This means that God will see us through it. This means that God knows a way out of what you may be in. This means that God has already seen the end of what you're just seeing the beginning of. This means that God knows how to navigate through the storms in your life. This means that God knows how to get you out of the trouble that you're in. And if you're a Christian, you've got some troubles. Troubles come to all men. It is sometimes hard for a sinner to understand that God works in His children who are Christian. It's sometimes hard for them to understand why we rely on God so much. It's sometimes hard for a sinner to understand why you always call upon the name of the Lord. And it's sometimes hard for them to even understand their own way. Some of them have been in sin so long that to them sin is righteousness and righteousness is all wrong. All we have to do is remember what 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 says. And if we allow those things to pass away as we have now become new creatures through Christ Jesus. When we allow those things to pass away and we become new creatures, look at the text again. It says in verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful, church? All old things are become, those old things have become as new. And it was a discussion in the Bible class this morning. How was it that Paul, who was so evil, became so great and so wonderful in his life as a Christian? Isn't that right, church? Those of you who were here, at least, anyway. It seems to me that the Lord spent a special effort on Paul because He had to get him to pay attention to what he was saying. And as Paul once described himself being the chief of all sinners, well, there are some new chief of sinners today. There are some today that would be just as bad as Paul, but in a different manner and a different method. But we must understand that Christ can make us all new again when we put Him on or when we get into Christ. Number three, we should gain a new love for God. When a child is born and as he grows, his love develops for those who give him love and care. So it is with new Christians who as newborn babes should develop a new love for God, according to 1 John 4 and verse number 19. We love Him because He first loved us. Isn't that right, church? If we would take a moment and just reflect back to before we became a new creature, most of us never thought much about God. And when you were not a Christian, it was a passing thought in your mind about God. It was something that you heard your mother, your grandmother, or your parent, or somebody else in your family speak of, but you never thought much about God. You never thought much about God, and we did not have the time, nor did we want to make the commitment toward God. We didn't want to stop doing, in other words, whatever it was that we were doing. We didn't want to stop doing that to start doing what He would have us to do. And so, but what a difference a little time and a little knowledge makes in our life. What a difference a little time and a little knowledge will make in the lives of all of us, but especially in the lives of a Christian. Do you remember how that Saul, who had never had a commitment to the Lord, but do you remember what he said in Acts chapter 9, around about verse number 6, I believe it was. The Bible says that he began to tremble. He began to tremble while he was asking the question at the same time, Lord, what will thou have me to do? What will thou have me to do, Lord, that I may get out of the situation that I'm in and learn to serve you if I will, O Lord? Give the Lord a little time and he can and he will change us. His words can bring light unto our lives. Psalms number 119 and verse number 105. His word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. Give the Lord a little time and his word will teach us to love one another. According to John 13 and 34, a new commandment I give to you is to love one another as I have loved you. Give God a little time and a little bit of patience in his word, and he will teach us that we even have to love our enemies, according to Luke chapter 6 and verse number 27, and do good to those that hate us. Oh, that's a hard task. I'm going to tell you, that's a hard task for all of us to do. From the preacher on back to the back door, that's hard for many of us to do. To love those who create havoc and persecute us. To love those who are our enemies. Give the Lord a little time and he will put us on the right track and we will become new creatures. Excuse me. When we notice the text, it is speaking to the fact that as we become new creatures, however, when we become new creatures in the Lord, I just guess I can ignore that, but it's kind of in my ear here, so. But once we become a new Christian in the Lord, it refers to one who has now decided who was once dead and who is now alive in Christ Jesus. A new creature can have a relationship with Christ where he didn't have one before. A new creature can now have the opportunity to be certain of God and his word. A new creature can know the difference between sin and righteousness. A new creature can learn to know that there is a better place than hell when we depart from this life. Isn't it wonderful to know that God will provide for us something new and something different than we're used to once we become a Christian? What the text says, old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. If anyone this morning has not decided that you want to put on Christ, if you have decided there is a better way than Christ, please explain it to me. Please help me to get an idea of what the better way is if Christ is not the best way. Please help me to understand how that this better way can make me a new Christian when I'm already a new creature in Christ. Please explain it to me. When you think that you are ready and you have made up your mind that you want to become a new Christian, I'll tell you something. You can't be in a better place than in the church. And certainly there is no other Savior we can have to save us. One who has already given his life for us. If you have already put him on and you need to recommit, certainly today is the best day to do that. That the hour is right and God is waiting and the water is ready. So what are you holding up for in your life this morning? Look at the text once again. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All old things are passed away, and behold, all things are new. When I talk about all things being new, when I talk about how wonderful and how great Christ is, when I talk about the Word of God, sometimes it just overwhelms me when I talk about the Word of God, because the Word of God is so powerful and so strong, and sometimes I don't think we really grasp just how strong and powerful the Word of God is. So let us for just a few moments, as we begin to close out here now, let us for a few moments simply remember the cross. If you don't remember how good Christ was, or how good He still is to us, remember the cross of Christ. Remember how that Christ marched up Calvary's hill, bearing the weight of the world on His shoulder. He aborted the cross, and they nailed Him to the cross. And somebody said they stuck the nails in His arms and in His feet. And somebody said that Christ was hanging there on the cross. And somebody else wrote that Christ only had a few words to say from His cross. But the words that He said, what's most important is that when they came to Him and found that He was already dead, they laid Him in a tomb. And when He got up out of the tomb, He walked this earth for a little while. And then when He walked this earth for a little while, He came and shown Himself to the many around this world at the time. But what I want us to understand is that Christ died not for me, not for you, but for all of us collectively. Christ died to save us. And somebody will ask the question, well, if Christ died for us, why am I still having so many problems? Well, some of your problems are self-created. If you don't have any money, God didn't put you in that predicament. You may have put yourself in that predicament because you spent all your money. If you don't have any food to eat, then that's where the church comes in. The church can help you. I got a pantry upstairs. If you need food, please see me and I'll give you food. If you need prayer in your life, stand before the congregation, ask God to forgive you first of all, and ask the church to pray for you that you may gather strength. Didn't I tell you just a moment ago the church is the best place to find Christ? It's the only place to find Christ for your life if you want to become a new creature. Then not only that, but there are those who would doubt what God's will is toward us. God's will is that we all be saved. God is not willing that any of us to be lost. God's will is that we obey His Word and do His will and do what He has instructed us to do, to obey His Word and do His will. Then there are some who say, well, preacher, I've been in church all my life. Have you really been in church all your life, or you went to church all your life? There is certainly a difference in going to church and being in the church. Some of us who are a little bit older may remember when your parents used to make you go to church because you didn't want to go. You wanted to go outside and play. And your parents told you, either boy or girl, you're going to church this morning. And you see, now that you are in church and you're an older person now and you got children of your own, you understand the theory behind it, that God is good and that God is great. And if you want to win out in the end and be placed in heaven, you have to follow the Word of God. You have to become a new creature. How do I become a new Christian? Well, you come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. And if you have not, if you have already done that, but you somewhere went astray. If you've gone astray. You know, and I find that a little problem with that sometimes, because many of us who go astray don't think that we've gone astray. We don't think that we've gone astray because I'm in the church, so I don't do anything wrong anymore. Well, you just lied. But my point I'm trying to make is very simply that if you have not confessed your faults before the Lord, have not asked Him to change your life, have not asked Him to help you to become a stronger and a better Christian, even though I was already a Christian, but now I want to go back to committing myself to you, then just ask God and then come forward, ask the church to pray for you that you grow stronger. And I'm one that'll tell you in a minute, there's nothing like prayer. Because there's no other way to reach God. See, I can't call God up. Not on the phone, at least, anyway. God doesn't send emails, and I don't text to God. But there is an app for that. It's called the Bible. And the Bible can put you on a straight path with the Lord if you allow it to. And that by me becoming this new creature, I'll know what God's will is for my life. I'll understand what God wants of me. And in the meantime, while you are thinking about getting your life prepared for God, you may not want to wait too long because you don't know when your hour is up. You remember we talked about it in Bible class just a week or two ago about the man who had everything. The Bible says that he fared sumptuously every day. But guess what? His time came. And he wasn't willing to help somebody while he was here. But he wanted to do everything he could while he was gone, after he left here. So all I'm saying to you is that we must be ready. We must be new creatures before we leave here, because there's no chance to be baptized after you're gone. There's no chance to meet Christ in a good state after you've gone and you've lived a raggedy life. So if your life is not complete, if your life is not right and you need to find God, you can do so as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.
Number 538. We seem to have some percussion today. So now, number 538.
Careless soul, will you live?